Welcome to this week's edition of Pit Stop. I am joined today by two studio guests, Mark Jones and Shal Bosch. And what we'll be looking at today is the second Omoda to arrive in South Africa. It's called the C5 GT, a bit of a performance badge to it. But I'll hand right over from Mark. Mark, you haven't had a chance to drive the C5 yet, but you went to the C5 GT's launch last week. Tell us, what are they trying to do with this product? Who's it aimed at? And what was the drive like?
Yeah, look, straight into the deep end. Thanks. Having not been exposed to the C5 before, I did get a short drive at the launch just to sort of get familiar with the 1500 engine, CVT box, smooth, really good package, well-specced.
Sorry, what does that 1500 engine produce?
115
kilowatts and 230 newtons.
Yeah, so it's nice. It does what it says. It's really well-specced. So I was happy, my little drive. Sort of saved the best for last. Then we got the official drive in the GT. And obviously this is to appeal to a sportier crowd. It's got bespoke gold trim, nice wheels. If you like gold, I don't. Thankfully, they had black rims, which worked. And it's got the uprated 145 kilowatt, 1600 turbocharged engine. And
so it's quite a jump going from the C5 to the C5 GT, going from 115 to what, 140?
145.
Yes, 145, sorry.
Yeah, 100%. So it's definitely more punchy. It has that sporty appeal. But there's a but on the end of that, which we'll get to. So spec-wise, great. I mean, every safety system you can think of, every intelligence system you can think of, well-specced in terms of infotainment, Apple CarPlay, wireless charging and everything. I mean, you can't fault the car in that regard. And I think they're onto something, but they said it in their briefing, you know, and it was a joke, but it does resonate. Toyota's been building cars for 100 years, Ford 120 years, and the joke was Omoda been building cars since yesterday. You know, they are new. They really are new in terms of heritage, and they also position themselves as a tech company, which tells you their concentration is a lot on tech, and maybe the shortfall, which it is on the drivability.
Just to go one step back, Omoda, of course, is a sub-brand of Chery. So, yeah, Chery, while they have been building cars slightly longer than yesterday, the Omoda badge has been around, let's say. No. Since yesterday, I suppose. Yes. Shal, in terms of the current landscape of SUVs and obviously the, let's call it the Chinese influx, we've been talking about this for a long time, where does that C5 GT fit in and what does it – does it have a direct competitor, apples for apples?
When we're talking about this, maybe they're potentially pitching it right up against arch rivals of all. More against the line of the Haval H6 GT. I mean, we drove that, was it up to about 2 or 3 years ago. So it's basically pitched at that. And then in terms of the Chery range, it's more of a step up of the, not only of the normal C5, but also of the Tiggo 7 Pro Max, which was also launched, I believe, at this same event. Same engine. Same drivetrain, but what I think we were told when we were at that event in April.
When you were over in China.
On the first trip, that then we were already told about this C5 GT, but at the time we were not allowed to make it official because it was still an underdevelopment project. And they had very high hopes for that car. They actually said that the vehicle would have four-wheel drive and would be boosted more than they said at the time, a Golf GTI, which is quite massive.
Big statement.
Big statement. So it's, listening to Mark, it's kind of a little bit disappointing in that sense because when we heard about it, we thought, wow, this is going to be something incredible. But as it turns out, it's a little bit of a disappointment. And some of the aesthetic add-ons, like you mentioned, are a bit over the top. But then again, I don't. When you look at when you look at the Haval, it's very conservatively styled in a manner. So I think this whole aesthetic plaque that they've put on the C5, they're trying to be a bit more different, be a bit more flamboyant, throw in all the tech stuff, and in a way help coat the package, if I can put it like that, to make it a little bit more better. Never mind the tech, which is brilliant.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is they're learning fast.
Yeah.
Let's not dismiss that. Let's not underestimate how fast they're coming and how good this stuff is going to be. I mean, the tech is there already. We've discussed this over and over. They haven't quite got this execution of performance stuff right yet. The throttle calibration is an issue. The drivability, which as a hardcore motoring journalist we concentrate a lot on, is lacking. So even the add-ons, you know, when you make a statement that you're going to take on a GTR, that's a big statement.
Very.
And the add-ons, the execution is really rough at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Talking about add-ons, you mean obviously the spoiler, because you said you were a bit disappointed. They come into South Africa and then they do those little alterations over here.
Yes, specifically, and I know it's nitpicking, and they were under pressure. They didn't have enough cars. Everything's getting held in the port. I mean, these are logistic issues that they can't control. So this was really, they were trying to get stuff together. But the fitment, the side panels and that were pretty good, but the fitment of that roof spoiler, I don't care. There's just no way I would have one on my car. But the good news is you don't have to order it with your car. They are quite flexible about what you put on. It's those little things when you're paying $600,000 plus for a car that you won't accept. But I have no doubt, as this thing develops, they will learn lessons. They take a lot of feedback. They're not scared to change things quick. No. I mean, China can turn a model around in 2-3 months. They will change. But right now, very hot and cold with the GT.
On that bit, what you were also saying, when we were in China for the second round, now – they had a Jaeku J7, which we know is coming here for the first next year. And what they told us, and it aligns very much with what you said, they actually asked us, what would you have different? What would be different? And we actually said, you know, if that trim piece was a little bit different with that, maybe it should have paddle shifters and whatever. And you could see they were taking notes everywhere. So they are
very proactive.
Very proactive, very up to date, and to get everything right. So as you said, The final execution may be a bit hard and rough on the edges, but they learn very quickly and they adapt. And that's, I think, one of the main things that will eventually count in a couple of years' time.
Well, that's the point. I think, you know, where they've come in the last very short period of time. You know, if we're going to talk about this in 2-3 years' time, I think these guys are going to be playing top three minimum. Yeah. They are on a charge. Their products are selling. This conversation is going to change. So I think at the moment they are a bit sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little bit offended. They are desperately trying to separate. Chery is the holding company. There's a Chery holding company. And then there's these sub-brands, Chery, which we know about, Amoda, and, of course, Jaeku that's coming. And they really want us to make sure they're separated. And we kind of know that. And you can just see the direction they're going in. These guys are yet to stay. I don't think they're going anywhere soon.
Nope.
And with us being under pressure in South Africa financially and our buyers buying down, that's why they're going into the showrooms. You know, they might not see the same things we see. They drive a car and they go, this is quite cool. We get a bit upset about the suspension that's a bit too hard and the steering that feels very fake. But the guy that pays $200,000 less for his SUV than somebody else, and with all the bling, that's what he's telling everybody.
Yeah.
Look at my SUV. It's very good looking. Or look at my GT car. Good looking. Look at all the tech. They're not going to discuss steering feel. I mean, that's a bit not there.
No.
But Mark, just quickly, you also had the speaking about the Haval H6 GT. You had it on test earlier this year. Now you've had the chance to drive the Omoda C5 GT. Just quickly, I remember you mentioning after driving that Haval that it's very pretty, lots of tech. But I remember you specifically mentioning also the tuning, maybe a bit, what was the exact words?
The calibration.
The calibration. And the words you used back then was, if these Chinese car makers are going to start figuring out the tuning and the engines, the rest will be in huge trouble. Now, we're just talking about the Golf GTI. Remember, we're in the eighth generation here. It did not happen overnight. It was a legacy built on decades and decades. Yeah. It's the first effort these guys are putting into the GTs. So, I mean, let's commend them on their starting effort, and they can only improve from here, of course.
Well, if you think where they started versus where their competition, so to speak, started and where they've come, I mean, it's not even on the same planet how fast they're going to go. I do have to add, and it's tongue-in-cheek, and I'm sure there is, and I mean no offense to anybody, seriously, but, dude, just go and to Germany and write out a big check and get some German guy that has been tuning golf for the last 100 years at the plant and ask him to do the calibration. I mean, who signs off on this stuff? I know we concentrate on this, but it is something you notice every time you drive that car. And I know every time we say this, I'm sure a cherry plant dies or a motor plant dies every time we talk about calibration. They roll their eyes, and I get it. But it is something that, man, we're doing everything else right. Surely there's an electronic guy that can just iron that bug out. And then, believe you me, that car will go from sort of fairly well down on my list in terms of, because I don't like to drive it, to right near the top, because it's, I like the look, I like the tech. I would just battle to live with the drive.
Is that guy not sitting in Korea maybe tuning the i30N right now for Hyundai, the one you're looking for?
Yeah, we kind of mentioned that, that we just recently drove an entry-level SUV, the Kia Sportage, and man, it was smooth. It might not have all the bells and whistles. I mean, it didn't even have inductive charging. I mean, so in terms of tech, it's hardly there. But what a drive. As soon as we said that, we were then asked to leave dinner, go to our bed, not come back. You know, so it's sensitive at the moment, but they've come so far. They shouldn't take it like that. They are going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. Just quickly in wrapping up, Shaul, what more can we expect from Omoda just in the next year or two? We've had the C5. We've had the C5 GT. What do they have up their sleeve for us?
We've got the RX coming, the Omoda, not the RX, the Omoda C9, which is based on the Exceed RX, Exceed being Chery's top of the range brand. And we're also waiting for a all-wheel drive version of, which was mentioned with the GT. We've also just recently read that the 1600 engine will be sold in Australia without the GT badge, but they'll also be getting all-wheel drive. So you can guarantee that might be getting that very, very soon. Obviously, still waiting for confirmation. But it's basically at the moment only the C5, and then later on next year, the C9.
And the electric version.
And the electric version. I forgot about that. The E5.
I think it's coming. You know, I never pay attention. I think it was the part of not feeding me and sending me to bed.
Before
dessert, so I was highly offended. But I'm sure that's coming first quarter. They're moving to electrification like everybody else. So that could be an interesting little car, because maybe then the drivability is not an issue. And I think it's going to be great.
I actually forgot about that. We saw that in China. It's got a 61 kilowatt hour battery pack, about 180 kilowatts, I think it is, and a range of 450 kilometers, and that's going to be their first electric one, and that'll eventually join the plug-in hybrid Cherries that'll also be coming in 2024, 2025. And we've just received also confirmation that there's going to be the JQ J7, which will be joined by the J8 at the end of next year. We're also getting the plug-in hybrid version middle of next year.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Like I said, 2 years from now, completely different conversation, and the electric version, talking about the electrification, I think it suits that styling of that product so much. Futuristic, just looks cool. Yeah, I think the hits are just going to keep on coming.
If you think about, also last thing to add, if you think about when Chery relaunched themselves in 2021, I mean, we were there for the relaunch. We were shocked. We didn't, if you remember the Cherries of old, they were terrible, let's be honest. And then this relaunch, it has been the most miraculous relaunch that we've seen in a long time. And in that short space of time, they've changed perception in a way that no other brand has probably done before. And it's just going to get better and better, as you said.
Yeah, I've been around that long. I went on the Chery QQ launch about 1,000 years ago. And I mean, I don't believe there's a single Chery employee today that was involved in that car. There's more technology in the ashtray of a Chery car today than was in that entire car. It was terrible. It was horrific. It was just cheap. Yeah, fun times. I prayed that I would wake up with a bug and not have to drive it, but I did, and it was traumatic.
Exciting times we live in. Well, fortunately, it's 1,000 years later, and the Cherries are slightly upgraded at this particular stage. But we look forward to keeping you up to date with all the developments coming up in the new year. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. I'm Jacob van der Merwe. I was joined by Mark Jones and Charles Bosch. Please subscribe to the Citizen YouTube channel. It shouldn't be too difficult to do. And then you can listen to us every week. That's all for this week. Thank you very much.